Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon. Episode 19, we got a good show, but first off, obviously, as you can tell, we upgrade the camera, so hopefully you guys all really like that, just upping the quality for you guys. But episode 19, ahead of UFC 255, we're first joined by, or it's an all flyweight show, if we're first up joined by flyweight title challenger Alex Perez to talk about headlining this UFC 255 card against Deiveson Figueiredo. Figueiredo looks solid in his two fights against Jose Benavidez. A lot of people are already saying he's going to be the flyweight champion for a long time. Perez thinks he can go out there and finish Figueiredo. He thinks he does everything what Figueiredo does, but better. It's a really intriguing matchup. I actually kind of like this matchup more than what the Figueiredo-Garbrandt fight was, just because I wanted to see Garbrandt fight at 125, prove he can make the weight before he gets a title shot. Perez even talked about that, but this is a big spot for Perez. He's only lost one time in the UFC. It was to Benavidez. He already knows people are overlooking him just because of that and how Figueiredo dominated Benavidez. But Perez isn't putting that much stock into that. He thinks he can be able to drag Figueiredo to the later rounds, just really gas out. He has suspects over his cardio. So that's something that we're going to see in this fight. And the leg kicks of Perez is something that he mentioned is going to be something he's going to use. So really insightful chat from him. And then next up, we're joined by flyweight contender Brandon Moreno to talk about him kind of getting snubbed from the title shot. Moreno was a bit disappointed. He thought he should have been the one fighting for the belt. So we talk about that as how it's he wasn't too happy when he found out that it was Perez getting it after Garbrandt got injured and he'd have to fight Brandon Royval. But this is fight of the night written all over it. Brandon on Brandon action, a great scrap. Moreno talks about what if he thinks a win over Royval gets a title shot or whether or not he thinks Garbrandt's going to get it again. But really insightful chat from him. And finally, we're joined by Brandon Royval to talk about his fight against Brandon Moreno. We talk about this kind of year he's on. UFC debut, took on short notice against Tim Elliott, goes out there and submits him. Then he fights Kai Kara France, goes out and finishes Kai Kara France. No one really finishes Kai Kara France at UFC 253. That was a really solid performance. Sets him up something big. Garbrandt gets out. Perez goes up. He's on Fight Island with his manager, who also manages Perez and Moreno. He's like, well, if Moreno's free, give me that shot. So we talk about how they all came together and what went over Moreno does for him. He knows he wouldn't be surprised if he goes out there, beats Moreno, and his next fight's for the belt and fighting for a belt less than a year in the UFC. It would be a great story, but a good chat with Brandon as always. So hope you guys like the show. Be sure to share it, subscribe on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you all for listening again. All right, we're joined by UFC flyweight who's fighting for the belt, Alex Perez. Alex, how's it going?
What's up, man? I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Obviously, big news. You're fighting for the belt. Originally supposed to fight Brandon Moreno and that number one contender. When Garbrandt fell out, did you know it was going to be you, or were the UFC kind of talking to you and Brandon to see who they were going to pick?
I'm not sure. My manager just hit me up, said, "Hey, you're in." So that's all I needed to hear. I didn't need to know if they're, you know, picking Moreno or me. It was kind of one of those things. Like, I got to go, so I'm ready.
And entering that fight against Moreno, I think a lot of people thought you already should have got the title shot. So now that you are getting it, were you kind of disappointed you had to get one more in before that and you were already scheduled to have to fight one more time?
Just like in life, everything's not fair. You know, if you feel like it should be you, there's always going to be some type of controversy, you know. I can care less. If I had to fight one more, 10 more, wouldn't matter. Eventually, I'm going to have to fight everybody to get to that title shot. So just happy it came a little bit sooner, and I'm ready to go.
And I know you were considered that backup fighter for the fight. So were you already kind of preparing for Figueiredo just in case, or was the focus early on just on Moreno?
No, it was just on Moreno. I personally wouldn't want to be a backup just because then you got to worry about 2 to 3 different fighters, really.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just be like, hey, let the other guy have it so I can just focus on one guy. Personally, that's the way I felt about it.
And with Deiveson, obviously, coming off that back-to-back really solid performance over Jose Benavidez, a guy you fought, what did you take away from those fights?
Well, he's looking for the knockout. That's about it. There's not really much to it. You know, he came out there, he knew what he wanted to do, and, you know, he got it done.
And we've seen you have a lot of success. Like, you push a hard pace in 3 rounds. That's a big question mark around Deiveson is, what's that power like when he gets to that 3rd, 4th round? Is that part of the game plan is, let's push him into these deep waters, push him to later rounds?
I'm going out there just like I do every fight, looking for the finish in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or now, you know, for now 4th and 5th. I'm looking to push the pace in every round, not just, oh, because this guy, like, it doesn't matter to me what the other guy does. I know I'm in good shape. I know I'm ready to come and fight. So I'm just going to push the pace from the beginning. I mean, that's my style.
And with Deiveson, like we mentioned, a lot of finishing power, and he showed off his jiu-jitsu as well. So, like, how do you think you match up against him? Because you're just like Davidson. You guys are both very well-rounded. Where I wouldn't be surprised if this fight's on the ground or it just stays standing.
I feel like we match up great. You know, I work with Jivo Santana, one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. He fought himself. So, I mean, he's probably one of the best instructors in the world. And we're breaking this down and we're taking everything serious. Where, I mean, obviously, Davidson's a champ for a reason. He's well-rounded. He showed that he has great jiu-jitsu. You know, good wrestling, good striking. So I'm just looking forward to the matchup.
Yeah, how do you see this fight playing out? Because your guy, both you guys have a ton of finishing power. We've seen you guys finish fights early. How do you see you getting your hand raised?
I see myself, whether it's decision, submission, whatever it is, I'm knockout. I'm going for that win. I'm going to push the pace, and I'm going to push for that finish. That's my plan. I want to make a statement.
I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of people were kind of disappointed that Garbrandt was off just because he's a bigger name. But I actually think this is a much more competitive fight. I thought Devin would have just kind of ran through Cody, especially dropping down to 125. Like, do you think this is, obviously you're a bit biased, but do you think this is a much better matchup just stylistically, you versus Devin, than Devin versus Cody was?
I mean, I think for the fans, I think Cody and Devin is going to be a straight stand-up fight. Like, those guys are going to try to kill each other. I think with me, it brings a different little aspect because I have the wrestling, I have the jiu-jitsu. You know, no one's really seen Cody take anybody down. I mean, I can't remember a fight where I've seen him taken down. I've seen Devinson take people down. So I think just stylistically, I bring something different. It's going to be more of a different fight. You know, obviously, we're not going to stay on the feet for crazy. It's going to be everywhere, on the mat, on the feet, you know. So I think it's a different fight for sure.
And ever since you lost Benavidez, you seem like a totally different fighter, a much better fighter. Like, how much do you think that loss has benefited you now looking back on that one?
I think every loss benefits you just because you learn a lot from it. You learn a lot about yourself and, you know, coming through adversity when you're down. So I think I've learned a lot about myself. It's helped me push a different, you know, view and different kind of work ethic.
And right now this is scheduled for the main event of the pay-per-view. So like, what do you think that means? Because I remember talking to you a couple of years ago and the flyweight division, like no one knew there was a lot of talking in and it might've been shut down. Now here you are headlining a pay-per-view card.
It's cool, man. You know, my first time at a title shot, be the pay-per-view main event. It's pretty cool. You know, I got to do the countdown the other day. It was kind of awkward cause I don't like, you know, cameras in my face, but you know, it was definitely a different feeling, but I can get used to it for sure.
It's scheduled for Vegas. Are you glad that it's going to be in Vegas? Because I know we talked before that when you were out in Abu Dhabi out there. Are you glad it's in Vegas then?
Oh, yeah, I'm 100% glad. Just the travel and stuff like that, it makes the weight cut harder. Just, you know, the 15-hour flight, plus you're quarantined for 2 days in your room. But, you know, it's just a lot to go with just because of everything you have to go through.
Your last fight, we obviously saw those leg kicks. Is that part of the game plan here? Is just to attack that lead leg?
Nah, it's a different guy, you know. Honestly, with Jasir, it wasn't just about kicking the leg. That just kind of came about. I was more just trying to stand and box with him because I was worried about him catching my kick. I got the leg and it kept landing, so I kept throwing it.
And you're a guy that you've kind of fought in a lot of the top guys' fights. So do you think this title fight's kind of happened at the right time, or you've proven you're one of the best? You fought most of these top contenders already.
Honestly, it didn't matter. I feel like it's always the right time. If it would have been two fights ago, now, you know, obviously someone thinks that you deserve the title shot. So I'm just glad it's happening now rather than later.
What would it mean then to get that belt wrapped around your waist, be considered a UFC champion?
It means just all the dedication, all the hard work, all the sacrifice I've done the last 10 years, would pay off just because people don't understand how much this sport takes away from just family, friends, and how much the person sacrifices when it comes to dieting, the work. You know, when you first start, you're not a full-time fighter. 90% of us, even to this day, like, I still work at the gym. I'm trying to teach classes. I'm doing private lessons, you know. So it just means that everything I've done to get to this point will be worth it.
And who are your main training partners for this fight? Is it the same usual cast you got?
Yeah, the same usual cast I have. I don't really change anything up. I did go to Factory X for a while, just get different looks and go hang out with those guys. But I'm back at Oyama's training out here.
Yeah, Factory X has a lot of good looks around your size, like Brandon Royval, Yusuf Salal. Were those the guys you were working with out there?
I gotta train with those guys. They're a great group of guys, great gym. I love the culture they have up there.
Do you think the flyweight division is finally getting some stable in the UFC? Like, obviously, it was supposed to be shut down. Then Cejudo got the belt. Then he moved up to bantamweight. Then no one knew what was going to happen. But now it seems like you and Davison, no matter who wins, are focused on building this 125 division back up.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for a while, people didn't really respect the 25-pound division. But now I feel they do. There's a lot more eyes on us. Obviously, the stuff that Henry did, you know, the way Davison won the title, there's a lot more eyes on us now.
Well, and I think the problem is to a lot of the casual fans, it was all 125. They're too small. They don't do finishes. But look at your and Davison's past couple of fights. You guys have been finishing the fights early. So, like, that only adds to the excitement of this fight and the division.
Yeah, I feel like flyweights don't get no respect in that aspect. There's people that get knocked out all the time, you know. But just in general, I feel like we're the most technical guys in the UFC, the 25ers and 35ers. A lot of weights are very technical.
And it's not like when you get up to those heavyweights where you guys aren't going to be gassed out. Like, you guys can push 5 hard rounds.
Yeah, you know, lighter guys are mainly known for their cardio and conditioning and being able to push a good hard pace.
And going up to Factory X, bit up an elevation, was that part of it, just to work on the cardio for 5 rounds?
Nah, it was just to go out there, just enjoy myself, get away for, you know, for a while. But other than that, it wasn't nothing for cardio. I mean, I feel like I have great cardio.
And first title fight in front of no fans, like, how weird is that going to be? Like, you can win the belt and it's just going to be kind of like silence, going to be no one there.
It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, I signed the contract. I got a job to do, and my job is just to win.
You're a guy, you like to be active. So even as a champion, would you want to keep fighting as often as you can?
Yeah, but towards the end of the year, I'm going to take some time off. Just in general, I'm expecting to have a baby boy, you know, February 1st. So I'm going to take some time off. Obviously, still train, but got to focus on the family part on that end.
Well, congratulations on the kid.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So is this one basically just get this one in November and then look for that first title defense like April, May-ish around then?
I haven't thought too far ahead. Who knows? Maybe I'll get one in, you know, by the end of the year. We never know. The UFC, sometimes they want to push it. Sometimes if I'm ready, why not?
And on the card too is that Moreno-Royval fight where a lot of talk is. That's the number one contender. Are you going to be paying any attention to that just because that could be who your next fight is against?
Nah, I'm not worried about it. You know, I've trained with Brandon Royval. He's a good guy. So I'm rooting for him, you know, Factory X guy. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I got to get the job done first. I shouldn't be focused on what's next when the one job isn't done.
And just last thing, obviously, your only loss to the UFC is to Joseph Benavidez. Down the line, is that a fight you'd like to get back with you defending the belt against him?
Oh, of course. I honestly, if they would offer me this fight before the title shot, I would take the fight with Joe. I feel I'm a better fighter. I feel the first time, you know, shit kind of happened. No excuses. And I feel like I'm a better fighter. I would take that fight in a heartbeat.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for the time again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, we're joined by UFC flyweight Brandon Moreno. Brandon, how's it going?
Man, amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Obviously, before we get into your fight, how disappointing were you that when you found out Garbrandt was getting the shot, it was Alex Perez getting the title fight, not you?
Man, I was very disappointed, you know, because I think I deserve the title fight even first than Cody Garbrandt, you know, but I understand that the situation with the promotion, they need to sell tickets in it. They need, I mean, not tickets, you know, pay-per-views. And I know Cody Garbrandt has the name, he's a former champion. So I understand, but I can understand the decision, Alex Perez first for the title, you know. Even in my name, I think is I have more fans, I have more everything, more experience.
With what did you first make of Cody Garbrandt getting the title shot?
Again, I mean, I was angry, but I understand, you know, because he was talking before about go to the flyweight division. He's the name. He has the followers in Instagram, in Twitter, in blah blah blah. He's a former champ, but I don't know, man. I think I deserve. I work too much every single day for my title shot. I have a lot of fights in the flyweight division now.
How important is it just to keep this fight standing? Because I think he's obviously known as that grappler. Your striking is probably your best part of your game.
Yeah. Man, I'm ready for every single stage in the fight, you know? I know. If you watch my fights before, I don't know, before UFC, all my wins was by submission. You know, my Brazilian jiu-jitsu skills are amazing too. And yeah, my progress with my striking in the last, I don't know, maybe 2 years, is amazing too. So, I have, man, I'm better. I'm just better than Brandon Royval, and you will see that in November 21st.
You haven't got a finish since your return to the UFC. Is that something you want to do in this fight? Is this make a statement and kind of show that you should have been that one getting the title shot?
Of course. I mean, I need to be smart. I need to stay focused in the fight, you know. I need to don't make mistakes against Brandon Royval because he's dangerous, always dangerous. But yeah, I need to finish the fight. I need to show something more. I need to make a statement. For I don't know, for the promotion, for Dana White, for Big Maynard, you know, because they make a mistake giving the title shot to Alex Perez. So I'm next, and that's it.
Is part of you worried that no matter what happens, the UFC is going to try to go back to Cody Garbrandt for the next whoever wins between Perez and Figueiredo?
Oh man, that can happen. I talked with my manager, and the Big Maynard say I'm next, but the problem is they say that before, you know, when Cody Garbrandt took the fight, and the fight was against Alex Perez this November 21st. They say the same, you know, like be the Alex Perez and you're the next for the title fight. Now, I mean, they say that, you know, again, you're the next for the title. For the title fight, but I can't believe in them again. So I just need to go and make my work easily. I need to make a statement, and then try to control Cody Garbrandt. You know,
how do you see this fight playing out between you and Brandon?
A war, a pandemonium, definitely, because he's brave. He's very brave. You know, he sometimes he try to go forward. Take some punches, but go forward. He has good chin. He supports the damage really well. And I'm the same, you know. You watch my fights. I can take damage too, but I need to stay focused. I need to be smart in the fight. Take all my experience in the octagon and throw the best punches in the fight.
Are you planning on making 125 on the dot in case something happens to Figueiredo or Perez?
Yes. I mean, it's very, very hard, you know. I mean, I think Figueiredo and Alex Perez will go to the fight that night. But yeah, 125 for me, just in case something happens.
And assuming you get your hand raised, you already mentioned you think Figueiredo's going to be present. When do you think that title shot would come for you? Like, do you think it could be the early part of next year or in the summertime? Like, when would that ideal time frame be?
No, I'll be Brandon Royval, and the next year maybe, I don't know. I can be ready if I don't have any injury after the fight. I can fight February, March. You know, I'll be ready after the fight.
Is it going to be weird for you? Is your first title shot in the UFC, assuming it could still be with no fans, like, is that going to be weird for you that you might get a title shot and there's your friends and family can't be there?
Yes, brother, because, I mean, you always imagine that moment, you know, in your mind and think about the people, about the crowd, screaming your name, all the Mexican people, my Mexican fans going to the arena. I don't know, maybe can be in Mexico, or maybe can be in some place with a lot of Mexican, like Los Angeles, like Las Vegas even. You know, I know I have a lot of Mexican fans there, but it is what it is, brother. This pandemic is serious, and I love all the rules UFC put for this situation. So it's fine. I understand everything.
And with Figueroa and Perez, like obviously, I didn't know if you noticed, but you guys aren't on the main card. Are you surprised they're bumping you guys down to the prelims?
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care, to be honest. I understand. I mean, main card is like Shogun Rua, Mike Berry. It's a huge name. I mean, I don't care. There's a UFC are taking bad decisions with me, so I don't care if I'm the first fight, I'm the last fight. I don't care. I just want to fight.
I don't know if you've seen it, but a lot of people have basically been saying they don't think Figueiredo's going to lose for a long time. People think he's like that good. Do you think he is much better than everyone else, or do you think any of those top five guys can beat him?
Let's see. I'm here. I'm the division. I'm the best. I understand. He looks impressive in his last fight against Joe. But, man, he never fought against a Mexican fighter. And that's it.
Your cardio is always on your advantage. How important is that going to be against Brandon? Because I expect this one to be three hard rounds.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's from Colorado with the elevation really high. So I'm training in a steel level. But my work with my cardio is amazing, always amazing. Right now, actually, I went to the Performance Institute with my training partner, and we make five rounds easily with in a high pace, you know. So I can support the fight easily.
When you got cut from the UFC about 2 years ago, did you ever think you'd be knocking on the door of a UFC title shot this quickly? Because no one really even knew the flyweight division was going to be around.
Not to be honest, I mean, we know the flyweight division is short, you know. If you have a few wins in your record, you can go for the title fight really fast. But, you know, I was released to the company. I was thinking about my title shot before I was released. And when I go back to the UFC, I just try to keep calm and just take the fights, win the fights. But I'm right now the best position, and I think it's clear I'm next for the title. So it's magical. It's special for me, because it's my dream. At the end of the day, this is my dream, and if it's the next year or was in this year, I doesn't care. I'm ready.
How do you think you match up against Figueiredo? Because to me, I think that's a really entertaining fight.
I know. I mean, I respect Figueiredo, you know. Just he sometimes try to take the spot like the bad guy. Not too much, but, you know. And I'm a nice fighter. I'm always, when I'm out to the octagon, I'm trying to smile. I'm trying to be educated. By my part, I will try to be nice with them, but I know we can make something when we are in the face-off.
You're still only 26. Do you still think you're not even hitting your athletic prime yet?
Maybe yes. I mean, I'm 26 years old right now. I feel amazing. My body's changing. My cardio is changing. My experience is changing. I mean, my life is so different like the other guys, you know, because I'm a father, I have three kids, I try to be as smart in my life, I have my wife, everything, my family. I have too much, and I'm young, but I have too much time fighting, you know. I started this sport like a professional in 2011, so I have almost 10 years here in this sport, and, you know, maybe 30 years will be my best Brandon Moreno, but right now I feel very, very good.
Your fight earlier this year was actually the first event with no fans. So,
yeah,
but that was obviously in Brazil. Now you're going to Vegas. Do you think there's going to be any difference between that event to this event?
Maybe, you know, that time in Brazil was weird, you know, because the arena in Brazil was huge, you know, huge arena, but you know, no people, no crowd, any single people talking about the fight. So it was weird, but to be honest, in the moment in the fight, nothing care, you know, nothing care. Just try to kill the other guy. I mean, Brandon Royval is a nice guy, but I need to make my work for my family and my three kids.
And just last thing, obviously not looking past Brandon, but eventually you get that title shot and win it. What would that be like to bring another UFC belt back to Mexico?
Man, I mean, at first I want to be a champion, you know, for me, just because I'm starting this sport, because I love this sport, you know, I love training, I love mixed martial arts, I love everything, I love the discipline. But I know if Mexico has a fierce 100% Mexican, like a champion of the biggest promotion in this sport, I know I can change something in my country. I want to do that. I want to do that because in Mexico, we love combat sports, you know. We are amazing in boxing, for example. But this sport is new for us. It's new for us. But every single year, I see a lot of young fighters look impressive in his fights with more experience, with more skills, not just striking, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, wrestling even. So I want to change the all the situation in my country, and I can do it.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Paul, thank you so much, bro. Thanks for your space, and see you next time.
All right, Jumba, UFC flyweight Brandon Royval has got a big fight. Seems like he's taking a fight every month or two. Brandon, how's it going?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Obviously, big fight against Brandon Moreno. It kind of happened all at once. Like, obviously, Cody Garbrandt was out, Perez steps in, and then literally like an hour later, you're fighting Moreno. How did this all happen from your perspective?
Oh, from my perspective? Oh, just fucking right place, right time, for sure. So my manager, my manager manages like other flyweights in the division, which is Moreno and Perez actually, which is, so as soon as they were pulling out, I was hanging out with my manager. So I just fought on Fight Island. Right. And we're hanging out at the beach on Fight Island, and we're just hanging out. And I see him get like a little grim on the face, and like, I can see him smiling like from a distance. And then like, he's on the phone constantly. He's so busy, man. The hardest working manager out there, Jason House Iridium, man, great manager. And, so I see him smiling all big, and like I knew he had some big news, and I trained with a little Perez in the past a little bit. So we got up in FaceTime with Perez. I was gonna say what's up, but like I'm kind of eavesdropping in, and I find out that he got the title shot, and we're kind of chilling there for a little bit. And I could tell that he got all excited because like one of his guys is about to get a title shot versus Figueiredo. So you know, as a manager, it's a big deal and a pivotal point in his career too. And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, so does that mean Moreno's free right now? And he's like, yeah, technically. He's like, do you want me to text Mick? And he's like, you want that fight? He's like, are you like feeling good? It's like, yeah, fucking give me that fight for sure. Like, I definitely text Mick right now. So yeah, Mick was actually on Fight Island too. So I got to like run into them, and kind of it all worked out, man. Just perfect place, perfect timing, all that stuff, man. It was led to good things.
This year has to be pretty surreal for you. You get signed to the UFC in May. You submit Tim Elliott, who's one of the most known guys of flyweight. Then you go out there and finish Kai Kerfers. No one finished Kai Kerfers. And now you're fighting a number one contender fight. You weren't even in the UFC this time last year.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, I think almost a year to the date when I fight Brandon Moreno, I won the LFA belt. So I've been popping off fights this year, man. It's been great. Great opportunity, and definitely was able to change my life a little bit. So I'm super grateful for that, man. It's just grateful for the opportunity to continue to shine, and I have a great opponent in front of me, as in Brandon Moreno, to go do that. And you know,
hey, yeah, Brandon Moreno was either going to be him or Alex Perez getting that title shot. So fighting Moreno, like obviously style wise, like he's a guy that likes to stand up and trade. Do you think this is another fight where if it gets to the ground, you're going to have a big advantage?
I don't necessarily think if it gets to the ground, I have a big advantage. I think Moreno's a black belt, and he does a lot of like really good controlling and stuff. Like, he's not going to risk too much, in my opinion. I think he's going to stay far and try to ground and pound if it hits the mat. So I think my best bet in that opinion is just to start wrestling and get up, you know, continue to keep it striking. And I don't know, just if he makes a mistake and does anything that I can't imagine him doing it, like getting in the firefight of jujitsu and like kind of rolling in and trying to pass guard and do all that stuff where it's going to lead to him like getting subbed. I can't really picture him doing that. So I think my best bet with him is just to wrestle up and kind of keep it in that position, you know?
And right now, I think you guys are on the main card of this pay-per-view. What's that going to be like? Because you were on the main card of the last one as well.
Yeah, we were like I was right before both those title
fights.
It'd be cool to be in that same exact spot too, to be right before both those title fights. But I'm definitely hoping that they add some big names to that card, man. So if I get bumped down, I wouldn't be sad about it. I definitely want to be on the biggest card possible with the most eyes, man. I think me and Moreno are going to be a great fight, man. I think Brandon Moreno brings it, and I have a little bit of that in me too. And I think this is a perfect fight for me to showcase my name and showcase who I am. And get my name going, you know.
Brandon Moreno, this is his second stint in the UFC. You obviously saw him fight in LFA. How much different do you think he is now compared to that first in the UFC?
The first time in the UFC, I think he's grown a lot, man. I think that he's gotten like he's obviously becoming a man too, and you can see like that strength come a part of him. I think there's like a lot of like he does a lot of the similar stuff too, but at the same time, like he's definitely grown, and he seems like he's got a lot stronger. He's a smart fighter, and there's a lot of good stuff that he's been able to kind of grow off of, especially between that first stint. Like I said, I think he was like 22 or 21.
Yeah,
playing Ultimate Fighter, so young, you know.
You guys have a common opponent in Kai Kara France. Have you been watching his fight against Kai, seeing some of the tendencies he was doing?
Yeah. Actually, I took a lot away from him with Kai. He made a really cool adjustment when he fought Kai Kara France. And you know what? That's what he does really well, too. He makes really good adjustments during the fight. But when he fought Kai Kara France, he made an adjustment after every single one of his punches or his combos. He'd throw a kick right up high and like keep Kai's right hand at home, because Kai was landing it the first couple of rounds, just kind of landing that right hand. And then after the second round, he kind of started adding that into his game. And I think it changed the momentum for the fight for him. So I got to steal a little bit of things from him, honestly.
And Brandon Moreno's a guy that throws a heavy out pace. He has good cardio, but you train out there in elevation. So you think this cardio is kind of – because that's a big strong point of his game, but I don't think he's going to really out-cardio you.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily see that playing a factor into it. I see him bringing a high pace, and what I like what he does and what he does well, and a lot of my other opponents, I guess, haven't done it. I guess what I'm trying to say is he throws combinations, man. Like it seems like a lot of like, which is weird to be like a flyweight fighter and all these guys that just throw like one or two punches at a time, gives me the chance to kind of capitalize and land like all my retaliate on the punch. I don't know. I'm like why I'm losing the word for it, but just come retaliate back with the punches and stuff. And it's easy to draw on that pattern when you throw six punches. Like it's hard to avoid all six of those punches. And he does that really well. He throws combinations, and I like that style about him, and he carries like a heavy pace too, which is really cool.
How do you see this fight playing out? Because Brandon's one of those durable guys. He's only ever finished was on top, which doesn't even count as pro record. So even in his first in the UFC, he was never finished.
Yeah. I definitely see this probably going all the rounds. I thought my last bet was probably going to go all the rounds too. But I think I have more of a finishing tendency than anybody he's ever faced, and including himself. I think I'm more of a finisher and can capitalize on a quick mistake that he's done more than anybody else in his career. But that being said, like I said, he's a tough dude. He's Mexican, bro. We're both Mexican dudes bringing in that like that attitude and that heart. And I don't necessarily see him being finished at all. So it's gonna have to be 15 minutes of me whooping his ass, I guess, man. I don't really know what else I can do, you know. Hopefully.
Have you been told this is the number one contender fight? Because on paper it really should be, but then you have Cody Garbrandt. He might get the next one, which I don't really think he deserves that title shot. But have you been told this is it, or do you still think you might need one more?
No, I haven't been told anything, man. I'm just happy to be here. Honestly. I just finessed my way to fight number one contender right now. I'm just trying to shut up and just capitalize on a moment, you know.
Do you think your striking's still a bit underrated from UFC fans? Because I think coming to the UFC, everyone viewed you as this grappler guy. We saw you strike against Kai Kara Francis. Like, you dropped Kai Kara Francis, and no one really drops him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what people are saying about it or not. But that being said, I think I showed a little bit of like more of a brawler's mentality. I think with Brandon Moreno, I can just show I'm a technician, man. I can pick people apart. I can beat the shit out of this guy with a one and a two the whole entire fight, I believe. But like, that being said, I have a little bit of that like immaturity, I guess I would say, is like, I kind of like to, like, if I get hit, I like to fucking go forward and like, all right, motherfucker, like we're fighting now. And I think that's a little bit of something that is a little bit of lack of maturity and maybe fighter IQ that I can work on this time. And this is a great opponent to do it against, is someone that I think that I can just out technique the whole entire time and capitalize on him being a little bit more of the sloppier fighter instead of going in there and throwing balls to the wall and not really giving a fuck, you know. And that's what happened a little bit more in that Kai Kara France fight. I just got caught up in a brawl, man. I got hit once right off the bat, and then I just had that mentality of just like, all right, motherfucker, like we're throwing. Like, if you're throwing like that, then I'm gonna start throwing like that, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, go ahead.
Is part of you going to make 125 just in case anything happens to Perez or Figueiredo?
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah, it's just, you know, might as well make 125 just in case. I'm sure that I would find out right before, and I'm sure that Brandon Moreno has a little bit of that same mentality of where he's probably gonna make 125, and then like obviously he deserves a title fight more than I do. I'm kind of just finessing my way in the back door slowly, so you know, if he can't make 125, I'll definitely be there to fight whoever it is, you know.
I know this is your second camp without that full-time job. How different has everything been? Just focus on fighting now.
It's weird, man. It's awesome. It's a dream come true for sure. I don't know, man. I honestly really don't know how I did all this before. Cause like I said, man, I was just fucking, I don't know. Like the fighter's lifestyle is rough, and like, I wasn't missing practices. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. So it's cool, man. I have a lot more time to recover and all that stuff. And it's been a real blessing, man. I don't know. I'm not used to it. It's been a crazy 4.5 months for me for sure, man. And, to pop off this, I guess it's probably been like 6 months at this point, but like to pop off three fights in 6 months, man, would be great. And a great, like, especially with fighting a Brandon Moreno, where like, I'm pretty dead set we're going to win that $50,000 for sure. Yeah. So one way or another, that money's coming into like my bank account. So I don't know, man, just been extremely blessed this year, man. And I can't believe it, man. It's definitely a dream come true.
Well, that's what I want to touch on. Is there a bit of added pressure to either get a finish or get a bonus? Because you've gotten both in so far both UFC fights.
Yeah, I got two bonuses. I'm not looking to bonus this fight at all. I'm not looking to get fight of the night this fight at all. I'm looking to put on strictly performance on this motherfucker. I'm not trying to fucking have fight of the night with Brandon Moreno, which is probably going to take like a year off my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude swings for the fences and goes balls to the wall. Probably not the best fighter to try to have fight of the night with, but that being said, is I know who I am, and I know the mentality that I bring, and I know the mentality that he brings. And if either one of us get hit, I'm sure we're going forward right then and throwing combinations and going little balls to the wall. And I can picture him doing that, and I can picture myself doing that a little bit too. And I don't know, man. That being said, is it kind of makes for an exciting fight no matter what happens. So we'll see. I want performance though.
Just a few more things. What do you think this means for the fly division? Because obviously, before you even in the UFC, there's a lot of talk the division is going to get canceled. But now they're headlining a pay-per-view. You have two flyers fight on a main card. What do you think this does for the division?
I think what my fight and Moreno fight does like a lot for the division. I think that this is, like I'm saying, man, I am excited about this fight as just a fan's perspective to go back at the end of the day and watch this, because I know what he brings to the table. I know what I bring to the table, and it's going to be an exciting fight no matter what happens. And like, I don't know, as much as I'm dead set on like not trying to make an exciting fight, I already know what's going to happen. So I think our fight for the flyweight division is super important. I think it's super important in the sense of that we both have like, we'll both have we're both fan friendly fighters. You know what I'm saying? So, and then obviously the title fight's a title fight. So, that's going to bring attention to it no matter what. But that being said, is I think that we're the fight of it. Like we're going to be still in the show for sure. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that. And that's a little bit of my mind state walking into this, is going in there and still in the show for all the flyweights, you know, and making it all about me kind of thing.
You are the betting underdog again. All three of your UFC fights, you've been the underdog. What do you think it's going to take for you to become the favorite?
I mean, I get it, man. I'm jumping the rankings. Like, I get it. I'm jumping the rankings. But you guys don't know me yet. Like, you guys don't know me yet. You guys know nothing about me. And, like, I like that. And I get that. Like, keep betting against me. It makes sense. Like, if you're going to bet, like, statistics and you don't know anything about this dude, like, bet against them for sure. But that being said, is, like, I don't know. Do your homework. Like, do your homework. How's he going to beat me, really? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is he going to sub me? No, that's not a fucking option. Is he going to knock me out? Brandon Moreno hasn't knocked anybody out. Like, that's not an option either. Like, I mean, if you're betting on a finish, I wouldn't be betting for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I don't know. It is what it is, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to prove people wrong. But, like, more excited to just gain fans, man. Like, I know what I bring to the table. And I know, like, the excitement that I bring. And if you're not going to bet for me this fight, maybe you will the next fight, man. I don't know. So, we'll see.
And you made your debut May 30th. So 2021, May 30th. Do you think a year in the UFC, you'd already be fighting for a belt by then? Because I think that's a realistic possibility, is you're fighting for a belt, not even a full year in the UFC.
Yeah, it's crazy that could be the reality of it, right? And like it would be like, it wouldn't be unrealistic to think that if I go out there and put a show on Brandon Moreno or put a show out, that I could be fighting for a belt next. And that's not unrealistic right now, but it's just crazy to think that because literally, like, right now, I think it's at, like, 5 months. 5 months ago, I was working a full-time job, like, wondering if I should even be training still, or, like, is MMA going to be, like, even an option for me, or is the UFC even an option for me? Like, should I be looking at one or something else, you know? And, like, I didn't really know where my career was going to go, so the fact that I'm here right now and that I'm about to fight Brandon Moreno for a contendership fight is the craziest thing to me, man. And like I said, I just wake up so grateful every day, and definitely not taking advantage or I'm taking advantage of the opportunity given to me, man. And I'm just extremely feeling like blessed, man, for sure.
How happy are you this fight's in Vegas as opposed to Fight Island, or would you have liked going back out there?
I made a lot of friends out in Fight Island, which is really cool, man. I made a lot of friends with, like, the local people, or not like the local people, the people that were working there. So I mean, it'd be cool to see them again, because I don't know if I'll ever see them again, honestly. But that being said, I just want to be like, the worst thing was to be, like, stuck on Fight Island, because I was there for like 3 weeks after my fight. And I don't know, you want to be with your friends and your family, you know. And Vegas is an hour and a half plane ride for me, you know, so I'll be able to see my friends and my family after a fight. So, you know, after a big win or after a big fight, you just want to spend that moment with people that, like, matter the most to you. And that's gonna be the great part about fighting in Vegas right there, is I can go out there and see my friends and family right after the fight, you know.
What was it like seeing Alexander Hernandez pick up that win? Because I know you two have become really close since he moved.
Yeah, that was the coolest thing ever, right? I was just jumping up and down, man. I wish I was with people for that fight too, but they fought so early in the night that I was, like, at home and just barely getting stuff done and able to watch it. But it was really cool, man. It was really cool to go out there and, like, watch him show motherfuckers that he's still Alex the Great, you know? Like, that was cool, man. That was, like, he just went out there and put on a show and made it quick and pretty flawless out there. He was just setting up, like, good things right off the bat. You could see, like, his MMA IQ and, like, a game plan unfolding right, like, really early. It just sucks that he – I mean, it doesn't suck because it's really cool and he got $50,000 for it, but, like, you couldn't see more of him because you could see a little bit of genius popping out right there. And it was really cool to see that. It was really cool to see my friend Dustin Jacoby go out
there,
put on a show, man, and just make a statement right off the bat in the UFC. It just sucks that card was so good that he couldn't bonus either, because there's so many great fights, you know?
Last thing, I'm sure people have asked about this, but what's with Darren Till and these guys robbing your nickname?
Did you see that Holland dude or whatever?
Yeah.
Posted Raw Dog. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know, man. That's a great question. Ask that for those motherfuckers, because this is actually like I honestly didn't care at first. I was like laughing, and now I'm like, this is kind of fucking bullshit. Like, I don't, like, after a while I'm like, all right, like, everybody's still in this Raw Dog thing, and like, I don't know, man. Like, I wish I had the timeline on when everything happened, because when I got signed to the UFC, maybe like a couple of weeks later is when that Raw Dog thing came out. So it was just like a weird coincidence, maybe, or like maybe these motherfuckers are trying to steal my name. But homeboy even like stole my emoji and put it on his goddamn Instagram. Like, I have like an emoji thing that I use for Raw Dog, and he did it too. And I was like, damn, this fool might be real life, like, on my Instagram stealing from me right now. I don't know. But I don't know. It's a bummer. I'm about to call myself the Gorilla Till and go out and walk out to Sweet Caroline and shit, man. Steal his identity a little bit more.
All right, well, Brandon, thanks so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
All right, have a good day, brother.